speaking in spirit or walking with the Spirit. That's our launch-off point, because in our study of Romans, as we work from chapter 5 all the way to chapter 8, I hope you have perceived that what Jesus did on the cross was to make possible your friendship with God, the Holy Spirit. Okay? That you at least have heard, if not fully grasped, this reality that what you were really made for was this intimate friendship with God, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. The context for that, of course, is that you have believed the gospel concerning what Jesus did on the cross. That God so loved everyone that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. He died on a cross. He was crushed, and he paid a price that he didn't have to pay. But everyone who believes in him, that price was paid for them, they won't perish, but they'll have eternal life. And what we are talking about is that second part, not perishing, but having eternal life. How does that work out? Well, that works out in the context of a friendship with Holy Spirit. Friendship is too weak a word, actually. Okay? You are designed, like, you know, many of us drove here to get to this building, and so we got in our cars, and, you know, you could put it this way, that the car has a friendship with its engine. But, you know, that is such a weak way of putting it. That car goes nowhere without the engine, right? You need that engine. It's not like, it's nice to have. It's not like the AC or something like that. That car does not work without the engine. And in a very real parallel, you and I will never be what God meant us to be apart from Holy Spirit. Okay? There is an understanding, or there is an idea, that we just live, we just get on with our life, we just do what we want, and God flavors it. You know, God is a flavor, a seasoning for our life. And that is just false. We were made by God for God, and so we do not work properly apart from God. And by that, I don't just mean you come to church, or that you have religious ideas, or that you have religious practices. We have to move beyond that to see you are this extraordinary creature that was made to walk in union with God. And so, for you who have believed the gospel, you have born again, you've put your trust in Jesus, and Jesus, by his sacrifice, has redeemed your life. Your sins are washed away. How does Psalm 103 put it? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put your transgressions from you. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness and his compassion towards you. This is because of Jesus, right? That psalmist is speaking, looking forward, but he's speaking in view of what Jesus would accomplish. Well, if that's you, then your life really is about an adventure with Holy Spirit, and every episode, everything that is going on is just the setting for it. Okay? I pray that the Holy Spirit stirs you to see good, bad, ugly, whether it's your own fault, whether it's somebody else's fault. It is an opportunity for Holy Spirit to show you the marvel of you having put your trust in God. Okay? It is important that you see your life in that context, because no other context fits what the scriptures say about who you are and what we are. Okay? Let me also remind you that, you know, God gains, if I can put it this way, God doesn't need us. We don't make up something for him that he's lacking. You know, I'm married to my wife. She makes up a great deal of what I'm lacking, okay? And to be fair, likewise, okay? I mean, that's how God has designed those things, okay? But God is not lacking anything, you know? He doesn't need people to be Christians because there's a weakness in his character that we can make up for him, you know? The more people who praise him, the stronger he gets. The more people who do what he wants, the more in control of everything he is. I mean, he is not any less in control of everything now than he will be at the end of all time. He is God. So when he instructs us and he tells us, here's how I want you to do something, it is never for his gain. Never. Always for us. Okay? So last week, it's a theme that I've come back to often. We talked about his will over mine, okay, as a key to walking by the Spirit. There needs to be in you this growing attitude, when all is said and done, I want him to get what he wants, even if it means I don't get what I think I want. Okay? Now, why is that a key? Now, first of all, okay, it's not because that way God feels better about himself. It's not. Every place where God gets what he wants in your life, the net result is your blessing, your fullness, your having more than you thought possible. Okay, now I know that not one of us starts our mornings and makes evil plans for ourselves. Let me think about how I can wreck my life. And that's what I want God to do. And so when it's a contest between what God wants for me and what I want for me. I want evil and destruction for my life, and that's why I'm pursuing it. No, I mean, come on. Even if we are not the most, even if we aren't people of character, people don't make bad plans. They have good desires for themselves, unless they've been broken into. Okay? Unless they've been broken into and they've listened to a liar, and the liar has tricked them to try and destroy themselves. Okay? But normally, when I want what I want, it's because I think there's something good at the other end of it. Right? I wanted to do it this way because there's something good at the other side of it. I'm not doing it my way to get something bad. I want something good out of it. And then when it's a contest, if I could put it that way, a conflict between God wanting it this way and me wanting it this way, well, this way is going to result in good. What do you think is going to result in God's way? Something worse? Something less? See, now, to the natural-minded man, it could look like I'll end up less. I mean, look, what does God say about giving? See, we've talked about this before. The way math works is if I take some of mine and I give it to Norman, I have less, correct? 100 minus 10 is 90. I end up with less if I do that. But God says, no, I want you to give. Give generously. Give generously. Give generously. Because what God sees is that $10 that I give in heaven gets multiplied by 100. And so what I actually have is $1,000 or $190 after that transaction. It's just that some of it only is in this realm. Okay? Now that other realm remains available for me to take advantage of. I have to learn how to do it. But God's instruction for you to give is why? So that you can get more. He could give you more. My way is going to result in me having $100. God's way is going to result in me having 190. Whose way is more profitable? Okay, now that's a pretty silly example when all is said and done, but I hope you see the point I'm trying to illustrate. Why God wants you to do it his way is actually for your good, for your betterment. Okay? You know, those of us who have children, we've seen that dynamic work out in our kids' lives too. Why should my child do what Papa says to do? Because Papa wants to destroy them. He wants to take all their dinosaurs for himself. That's why. Why should we put back anything we take back in the place that it belongs? Why should we? Because the next time you want it, it'll be there. No, it isn't. It's because you don't like me and you want me to not have fun in the moment. No, it isn't. Okay, now that's just a minor example. How much more with our Father who loves us perfectly. If he tells you, do it this way, however much there may be a conflict, when you finally say, okay, I'll do it your way, it is so that more blessing can come into your life. More blessing can flow through your life to affect other people. God has ulterior motives, I suppose, but not evil ones. Only for your good. Okay? You just see a little circumstance. God sees that that circumstance is a stepping stone to so much more. And we learn to walk by the Spirit by saying yes in steps along the way. Okay? That's very important. You're being trained to have more in the Lord. That's what's going on in your life right now. Today, what I'd like to talk about is another key to walking by the Spirit. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 8 that sets the context for why we need to walk by the Spirit, why that's the answer. So, you know, you and I who are Christians, we need to maybe change that and not call ourselves Christians. We are, however you want to put the name, those who are learning to walk by the Spirit. Those who more and more are walking by the Spirit and putting aside the flesh. Those who are following Jesus' example. Okay? He didn't do anything that he didn't see his Father doing. He was led by the Spirit. And that is not because he was a special case. On the one hand, he was a special case. But that special case made it possible for many more of the same kind of cases to follow after him. And that's who you and I are. Okay? In Romans chapter 8, the message that I'm wrestling with the title for it, but I'll just simply say, keys to walking by the Spirit, give thanks. Okay? Last week it was his way over mine. This week is give thanks. Okay, but let me get there first. Romans chapter 8. Oh, these are the right glasses. For those who are according to the flesh, i.e. those who only go to themselves and find strength, go to their own ability and their own character to live life, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. For the mindset on the flesh is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And that was in the context of we need to walk by the Spirit. Okay? Now I'd like to jump ahead to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, in some ways, this is ground that we've covered before, but that's not a problem, okay? We still need to hear them and take them up. Chapter 4, I want you to jump down to, let's start in verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Jumping ahead in chapter 5, verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Okay, so what I want to draw your attention to is actually in the last part where it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. and tells us how, but let me set the stage for that. Okay? So we want to walk by the Spirit. And from the passage that we just read and other passages that you're familiar with, we can say walking by the Spirit, if you want to put it this way, there's two don'ts. Okay? Don't grieve Holy Spirit. Don't quench Holy Spirit. Okay? There's two don'ts when it comes to walking by the Spirit. But it isn't enough that you just don't do the don'ts. There are things that you are called to do instead. Okay? So I want to approach this from this perspective. What is the atmosphere within me that will see to it that Holy Spirit is not grieved? That will see to it that He is not quenched? Okay? And there's a lot that probably needs to be said, but let's just start simply here. What is an attitude? What is a way of me governing my life so that Holy Spirit is not grieved as I deal with something? Okay? If you're willing to agree with me about this, what are we after? We are after Holy Spirit and me walking like this through everything I have to do. Okay? A close, intimate fellowship with Him. Why? Because that is how I have been designed to work. He is as essential to me as an engine is for a car. Okay? For it to work properly. I mean, you know what? You can get around in a car by pushing it. Okay? Put it in neutral. Get your friends just to push you around. But that isn't how a car is supposed to work. You can walk around in your own strength and your own ability and make your way as best as you can. But that isn't how you were actually made to work. You were meant to walk with Holy Spirit. Okay? So I'm after walking with the Holy Spirit. That is something that is not like He sort of takes control of your head and says, go this way. And so now you're going this way. Now turn this way. That's not how we walk with Holy Spirit. It is a friendship. Okay? It is an intimate, it's like a marriage. Okay? Anybody who has a marriage where one spouse is doing that to the other, they don't understand what marriage is supposed to be and how good it can be. Okay? It is a partnership. But in this weird sense, the one who owns everything waits for me to agree with Him. That is a key. So, then He teaches us, so how can we do that? What's the environment that I will agree with Him? How do I not grieve Him? Well, here He talks about, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's so much that can be said from just that part of this passage. Okay? So, let me ask you a question. Who is this instruction for? Okay, now let's just face it, there are some people among us who like to sing more than others. Okay? And there are some people among us who are more capable of singing nicely than others. Okay? So clearly, this portion of Scripture is directed at them. Right? Yes? No? He's talking about musical people. Clearly. Right? No, He's not. He really isn't. He really is not talking merely or only to musicians or musical people. He's talking to all of us. If you are willing to agree with me that your life is only going to work out as you agree with Holy Spirit and He leads you into everything God has prepared. Remember, here's what it says about what God has prepared for you. Eye has not seen it. Ear has not heard it. It has not entered the heart of man. All of that is a way of putting, you can't even begin to conceive of how marvelous what God has made possible. Okay? Your best pictures of what God could do for you fall short. Okay? He says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for him. And then it says, but we have. Long story short, we have Holy Spirit. Okay, we have the mind of Christ, but it goes on to say something more about the mind of Christ about it, that it's Holy Spirit who we have, that knows what God wants, and so we need him to lead us into everything. That's why it's so essential that we cultivate ways of not resisting him. Well, what's a way to not resist him? Remember, that is in the context not of a comfortable setting like this where nobody's attacking you and you are have a reprieve from your everyday life, but that is to be in the context of your everyday life, right? Whatever is going on normally. What do we need to do? Well, listen to what he says. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? By speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Hey, if you don't know where to start with that, take the psalms and begin to read them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Those aren't my words. That's Psalm 103. Okay? There's an example of something you could carry with you as you go through your day. You just found out the check you were waiting for that was going to solve all your problems is lost in the mail. Or, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. No. If God really loved me, he'd make me say that. I would just face trouble and automatically I'd start saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. No. The fact that God loves you does not mean he will force you to benefit. But he invites you. You have to choose. You have to choose. You stop being what God made you to be if you stop choosing. That's how powerful choice is. That's how powerful it is what God has made us to be. People who can choose him. So, you face some difficult situation. Well, here's a great opportunity to cultivate an atmosphere within that Holy Spirit can lead you through that adventure, through that misadventure if necessary. Have an attitude that says, I will bless the Lord. In all things, give thanks is how it puts it in another place. But it says here, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now, that is a good news for those of us who cannot sing. Those of us who are not, how shall we put it, tuneful or in tune. Great news. It's not your vocal cords he wants to hear. It's your heart. Make melody with your heart. So if your vocal cords, if what comes out of your vocal cords sounds terrible, it doesn't sound terrible to God. If you are doing it because you want him to be happy with how you're responding to this trouble. Okay? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and not just giving thanks because we're supposed to give thanks. There's this weird idea about Thanksgiving and all that, that we're just supposed to be thankful. Now, they'll get offended if you bring up. So who are you giving thanks to? No. We don't want to get into that. We just need to be thankful. I just need to be thankful for my... That is idiotic, to be honest. But it is also a sign of the times that we live in where idiocy is normal. People are offended by the idea that God did something for them. They're offended by the idea that it is to him that we owe our thanksgiving. That's just a sign of the times, okay? And without being critical, I mean, we've all been like that, okay? He says, give thanks to God, even the Father. And then he adds this extra line that's, we'll just ignore, we'll cut it out of the Bible, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, okay? Another key for another time. When all is said and done, the keys to walking by the Spirit have got to do with things going on the inside. Okay? They have to do with what goes on inside you, not outside you. Circumstances come and go. Even people in the worst of circumstances have good days. That isn't the real issue. The issue is what's going on inside you. And God wants us to understand walking by the Spirit is not just this weird, mystical idea of weird things happening to you. And until weird things happen to you, you're not really walking by the Spirit. You know, there's a way of thinking about Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit that limit him to weird, let me not use the word weird, unusual experiences only. Okay? Now, we don't have to deny that unusual experiences can happen, because at the end of the day, Holy Spirit is not us. He can do whatever he wants. And there are times when somebody falling over is exactly what he wants. Okay? So I am not criticizing those unusual experiences. But if all Holy Spirit is to you is a source of unusual experiences, boy, have you missed it. Jesus paid too high a price for just mystical experiences. He has done something so that every moment of every day of your life from here on in, you can be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, that check that you needed to pay all your bills, that was the answer that you had, is now delayed in the mail, and the person knocking on the door saying, "You pay or you get evicted," isn't going to be so impressed by you falling on the Spirit and doing something. Now, you may feel better about it, so I don't want to, you know, dismiss it completely. But you know what? When you get back up, if you don't have an answer, how have you been helped? Might as well take a drag on a marijuana cigarette. At the end of it, you still got a bill to pay. But what happens if Holy Spirit could say to you, "I want you to go and talk to so-and-so. They've been thinking about you." And so you go and talk to so-and-so. "Hey, you know what? I meant to give you this money like 3 weeks ago, and I completely forgot. And I ask you to just forgive me for not listening to the Holy Spirit." And they give you a check that meets the need at the moment. And you would not have heard that if you were so filled with all the stuff that comes from the outside inward from your circumstance. "Why is God not helping me? He never does. It's always like this. Never." And you can't hear him saying, "Son, go and talk to so-and-so. Son, go and talk." "Well, if he loved me, he'd hit me on the head with that. What's this son business? Why doesn't he just yell at me?" Do you like me yelling at you right now? No. It's not what he is like. Remember, he is after something far more enduring than just an answer to a situation. He is after you being a son or a daughter who hears what their father says and can do it. And that takes training. And so he says, "Here's what I want you to do. In the midst of your circumstance, after your give thanks. Speak to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is your normal operating environment. That is the normal operating environment for the son or the daughter of God. Inside, I'm cool because I'm listening to what God says." Okay? I want to end by taking you to Psalm 1. Hey, look at that. I'm going to end in time. What time did I start? Yeah, that's unusual. Okay, Psalm 1. Okay, so one of the things I want to tell you about Psalm 1 is that it's the first psalm. Okay? By that I mean, it actually is more important in some ways than all of the other psalms. It is the psalm that sets the stage for all the other psalms. Okay? It is like, here's what this book is really about. Okay? Psalm 1 says this. This is the NASB. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be the guy who misses out. No. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Who is this guy? Who is this guy that whatever he does prospers? Well, he's a guy whose delight, he's a girl whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, context-wise, this is in the Old Testament. The idea of Holy Spirit dwelling within you is a weird thing. Like, no. Did you know that there are people who cannot conceive that God could love you? That's just not what God does. God is too high to love you. Like, please don't quote me on this, but I'm fairly confident from the things that I've read and heard about it. Devout Muslims cannot conceive that God would love them. That's not, God is too holy to mess around with us. So their relationship with God cannot picture God loving them. Okay? Unfortunately, there's some Christians who cannot picture that God would love them. Okay? But that's a different ballgame. Here, what I just want to set the stage for is here in the very first psalm that is setting the stage for all the other psalms and all that you can do with them is showing you there's actually two ways to walk. One delights in God and His way. The other doesn't. Okay, leave aside the specifics of how that works out. The point is, one delights in God, one doesn't. And what all that I've said to you, the point of it is exactly that. Learn to delight in God and His ways. So, how do you do that? Well, a practical way is speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody with your heart. And if it happens to come out of your voice and it sounds weird to somebody else, no problem. God loves it. God loves it. Okay? You know, I think, as an aside, I think God has gifted artists to do amazing things. You know, if you look at some of the paintings and the old classics, you know, Michelangelo's works and all that kind of stuff, it's amazing to me. But honestly, okay, apart from the monetary issues and all that kind of stuff, I would far prefer a drawing of a dinosaur from one of my boys than Michelangelo's finest. Without denying that Michelangelo's finest is amazing, okay? But I would rather have my boys have this unique style of drawing dinosaurs. That is more valuable to me than the finest artistry of somebody's skill. Why? Because he's my boy. And he gave me something. Right? So it is with our Father. It is not the artistry of the music that he is in love with. It's you. And so your kooky picture of a dinosaur is more precious to him than the finest operatic voice. It isn't to say that we don't want to get better at everything that we do. This is no criticism of wanting to get good musically. I'm just saying, please don't limit yourself because you don't think you sing well. Sing to God anyway from your heart. Let it become the thing that bubbles up to you. The promise concerning Holy Spirit is that He will become like a spring of living water flowing through you. Are you keeping it stopped up? Because you think, A, your judgment of your circumstance is more worth attention than just letting Holy Spirit flow through you. B, because you don't sing that well, so we don't want to do any of that. No. Okay? We have what's the word for spring? Like, it's a spring, like a fountain that doesn't have its source in you. It has a source in God that is to flow through you, and your job is to let Him. How? Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody with your heart to the Lord. In all things, give thanks. And therein is a good challenge, because sometimes giving thanks is not the obvious thing. In fact, I'll say, in difficulty, giving thanks is not the obvious thing unless you've met the Lord and you've been trained by Him. And then it becomes more and more the correct thing. I remember the last time this happened. I have a dear friend. This is my last story. I have a dear friend. And I would see that person roughly once a year, okay, when I would go traveling. And that person, they would have all sorts of difficult adventures with their work. Okay? And every time I would hear and they say, oh, and this happened with work. And after about like the sixth or seventh time, I just started to laugh because I knew how this was going to end. And the person was kind of offended. Why are you laughing when I'm telling you my troubles here? And I didn't realize that they didn't catch it. Because every time they told me about their troubles, here's how the story went. This horrible thing happened. I turned to the Lord. He brought about this great victory. Second year, this horrible thing happened. I turned to the Lord. He brought about this amazing victory that affected so many people. Year three, this horrible thing happened at work. I turned to the Lord. This amazing thing. Now, okay, I may be not the smartest or the fastest, but by year six, when you start by telling me this horrible thing happened, where's my mind going to go? Well, it's going to turn into a victory. And I started laughing about it. And she said, well, why are you laughing? Or like, why? Well, the reaction was, that's not the reaction I expected you to have. Because they were in the midst of the trouble part. And I was thinking, this is just going to end up, you always win. Now, I never do, but you always win. You always win. So this is just going to turn into your good. So when you've been trained by that, then Thanksgiving becomes the obvious thing. Ah, I've been here before. And this is what God did. This is what God did. Here's your homework for today. Or for this coming week. I want you to feel that. I remember what God did. Some place where you were in trouble and God rescued you. And give him a thanks for it. Okay? Cultivate. I will give him thanks. That's just going to be the atmosphere within me. You can throw whatever trouble you want. My answer is going to first be, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Why? Because I want to make it easy for Holy Spirit to bring me where he wants me to be. There's a saying, I want to grease the skids. I want to apply Teflon to the thing that moves so it makes it easy for Holy Spirit to take me where he wants me to be. I want to lubricate all the joints. I want to just glide. How do I do that? I watch over what's going on inside. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much for your time and your attention. Father, we just, again, present ourselves as your sons and daughters whom you have redeemed. And we ask you for help, that we would be those who you're talking about here in Ephesians and in Romans. We are those who are being led by your Spirit because you are finding within us a faithful heart that does what you say despite what we see. I ask you to stir every member of this congregation to be those who, instead of getting drunk with our circumstance, we're getting filled with Holy Spirit. Instead of getting drunk with all that's gone wrong, we're getting filled with the Holy Spirit who has come. What a privilege it is to be us. And I ask you to open the eyes of our hearts to see it, Father. From the weakest of us to the strongest of us, from the youngest of us to the oldest, open our eyes again and again. Let us behold the glory of the Lord and what he has done. That we would just begin to always choose, I will give you thanks. I will give you thanks. You are worthy of it. Amen. Now, if you haven't trusted the Lord,